Bless the Lord. This is Pastor Steve Talbert, and I want to welcome you to our midweek Bible encounter. It's so great to be with you again tonight. We want to start out with prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you for everything that we will learn from the word on tonight. We thank you that it's the seed being planted in our hearts, the minds, the spirits of your people, that it will yield a hundredfold harvest in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we're not just learning, but we're learning to do and to be sons and daughters of God. So God, we just thank you and praise you right now for everyone that will join us on tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Once again, I'm Pastor Steve Talbert, and I'm so excited to be with you. We want to give you an opportunity to sow into Yes Lord Ministries financially. You can sow using the methods that you see on the screen. You can use the Yes Lord Ministries mobile app, which you can download from the Apple App Store, Google Play Store. You can also use the text to give option, which is 1-844-948-3895. And you just text the word give and you'll get the form to give. You can also give using Cash App, $YesLordM. You can also give on Givelify by searching Yes Lord Ministries in Kenilworth, New Jersey. You can also give by going to our website, ylmconnect.org, and click that give button on that website. You can also give by writing a check or money order and mailing it to Yes Lord Ministries, P.O. Box 425, Union, New Jersey, 07083. Thank you so much for your financial partnership and helping us to make it happen. Amen. And so I'm so grateful to be with you on tonight because we're gonna talk about something this midweek. And I know during the midweek, sometimes you can't wait till Friday come. But I'm just going to hopefully encourage you and give you that extra push that you need to keep going throughout the rest of the week and for the rest of your life. Amen. And so tonight, we're going to talk about something that I've talked about before, but we're going to talk about it again. We're going to talk about the power of hope, the power of hope. And it's so important that we look at that. We look at that because if a person doesn't have hope, then a person is like is living life without direction, because a life without hope is just like that. It's like a ship sailing without a compass. And we know that in the past few weeks, we talked about how to know the will of God, talked about the word of God being the most important book. But it's important that we understand hope, because there's a connection between our believing and our hope. And so when we think about that, again, it's like sailing without a compass, because it's like you have no sense of purpose without hope. All right. And so it's important. God wants us to have it, because as believers, we have hope because it's an anchor for our soul, and it gives us strength in times of trouble. And so we're going to talk about how hope can be found in the promises of God and how you're supposed to be hopeful. Amen. You're supposed to be hopeful. And so we're going to look at our scripture for tonight, which is going to come from, let's see here. Our scripture for tonight is going to come from Romans 15, verse 13, which says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And again, it says what? "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy, and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And so when we think about the condition of the world and how a lot of times there's a lot of reasons why we should lose hope, right? You look at the condition of the economy. We look at some of the emails. Maybe we got a lot of bills, not enough money, more month than money, you know? And so the bills are piling up, past due notices, collections calls and all that. Maybe your family relationships are in distress, you know, maybe there have been some conflicts where people aren't forgiving each other for whatever reason. But there's a lot of reasons in life why you should feel hopeless. But God gives us the ability through faith to be hopeful. And so Paul calls him the God of hope. We know that in the scripture that God is often called the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. But Paul here calls him the God of hope. And it's important because Paul, even during his time, was going through a time where Christians were being persecuted because of their faith. They were not subscribing to the religion of Rome. And so because they were not subscribing to the religion of Rome, the emperor was threatened by that. And so to try to shut them down and to eradicate them, he persecuted them. He put them in the Colosseum so that they would oftentimes find themselves at death's door. But Paul says, even in the midst of persecution, I want the God of hope to fill you with more hope, fill you with joy and more hope, fill you with joy and more peace, fill you with hope. He wants the God, he says, and it comes by the Holy Spirit. And so if you're Holy Spirit filled, you should not be pessimistic, but you should be optimistic. You should be hopeful for the future. Why? Because you have the God of hope. It's not just think, it's not your opinion. No, but now we're talking about the word of God in Romans 15, 13, which tells us that the God of hope that Paul prays and says to the church, he says, I want the God of hope to fill you with all joy and peace. Fill you as you believe, because again, there will be many reasons why you shouldn't believe according to your senses. But he says, now you got to press beyond your senses and get into the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit fill you. And the Holy Spirit brings hope with him. Amen. He brings hope with him. All right. And so we need to understand that hope is an essential component to the Christian faith. It's essential that you have hope as a believer, because you're going to be around people that they don't know the reason for their living. They don't have a sense of purpose. And so you are placed in the midst of that darkness as a light in the darkness so that they can be infused with hope. All right. And so it's essential that Christians have hope. And so as believers, we're called to live in hope, both for this life and the life to come. And so we're not just pressing and anxiously waiting the sweet by and by, but we're going to have hope right here in the here and now. All right. And so he says that the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace. So the Christian life is not one of depression. The Christian life is not one of anxiety, but the Christian life is one of joy and peace. That's what the scripture says. That's what the scripture says, that the Christian life should be a life. It should be a life filled with joy and peace. But again, you got to believe that this is what God wants for you. You got to believe that this is what God wants for you. All right. And so as we go into this scripture, again, we think about this as a letter that Paul is writing to the church in Rome. And he understands that there's a mixed group of Jewish and Gentile believers. But then as Paul is writing to them, he's understanding that they're facing challenges. They're facing challenges. And so as they're facing these challenges, not only of the external, but there were also internal challenges of division and different levels of spiritual maturity. Paul addresses these issues and encourages them to live in unity and love. Live in unity and love. And so, again, we see that he calls him the God of hope, the source of hope. All right. Because hope is in God's nature. And so he says this. He says that that we should believe. All right. That we should be filled with joy as we trust in him. And that that word fill is the Greek word, which means to fill completely or to make full. And so when we think about that, we remember John 10:10, where Jesus says that he came that we might have life and have it in abundance, all right? So God is not just about enough to get by, But God is about overflow. Again, I said this the other week, that as believers, we need to have increase on our mind. We need to stop living from deficits and understand that God wants us to have increase on our mind. And when you have faith and you believe in the God of hope, all right, then you will have increase on your mind. And so God is not just trying to give you hope. No, he's trying to fill you with hope, fill you completely with hope. And when you're filled completely to the full, all right, when you're filled to the full with hope, then you have enough to share. You have enough to share with those that may be hopeless. And we need to understand our responsibility as believers, as Christians, to represent God and to really realize that we have something to offer the world. We have someone to offer the world, and his name is Jesus. And so we are not without hope. We are not empty. We're not lacking. But we have the God of hope, and we have peace, all right? And so this filling is not just temporary measure, but it is a continuous state of being. It is a continuous state of being. And so we need to understand that this filling is the work of God, not something we can achieve on our own, which is why you need to believe in order to receive it. All right. As we trust in him, God fills us with the overflowing hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is not just given to us just so that we can dance, but the Holy Spirit is given to us so that we can experience the life, the very nature of God. And part of his nature is hope. Part of his nature is hope, all right? And so, again, we need to understand this, that the first half of that verse in verse 13 of Romans 15 speaks of God as the source of hope and the actions he takes in filling us with joy and peace. Filling us with joy and peace. And then the second half highlights the result of this filling, all right, which is overflowing hope. It's overflowing hope, all right? And so, again, we understand God in the Old Testament as being revealed. He's called the God of Israel. He's called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But then, again, Paul says, the God of hope, which highlights his nature and his character as the source of hope. And then in the context of this letter, it actually addresses these issues that the church is having. All right. Again, it addresses the issues that the church is having because they were disputing among themselves, you know, and we don't know exactly until we read more of this book of Romans, what they were arguing about, but it caused division. It caused disunity, disharmony within that local church body in Rome. All right. And I could imagine that there were different influences that were pulling at them. Okay. Because you had, again, Jewish and Gentile believers. And then you have people who used to be ingrained in that religion of Rome, the polytheistic religion of Rome. And so their approach, you know, because they're coming out of a legalistic, they're coming out of an idealistic religious approach. And so I could imagine that being pulled because, okay, some people probably say it can't be that easy, right? It can't just be that easy to trust God, relationship with God. We got to do something, right? We got to do something to show him that we're worthy, to prove our value to him. But they didn't understand that our salvation in Christ is a result of the grace of God, which is something that we can't earn, but God freely gives it to us, and then we partake of it by faith. That's what Ephesians tells us. That is, it's grace, it's faith. It's grace and faith. So we receive the grace that was made available to us, again, regardless and in spite of what we had done or who we were or as previous pre-believers, all right? But God freely gives us his grace. And then part of this grace is hope. Part of his grace is hope. Because why? Grace makes up the difference in our life. So we say, hey, but I wasn't capable of doing this. But God says, I know you weren't capable. And so my grace is sufficient for you. I know your weaknesses. I know your deficiencies. I know what you're not. And I want to be what you are not. Okay. I am what you're not. And so that reminds me of when he called Moses. Moses started to list all his disqualifications. And then what did God say? He said, tell them I am. I'll be whatever you need me to be for whatever the situation is. He is the multifaceted God who understands the difficulties that we will face in life. But he says those are not limits for him, but those are just opportunities for him to show up. And that's why we can have hope in God, because God is able to do anything that needs to be done and accomplished on our behalf. But all he needs us to do is believe him for it. All right. And so that word overflow, when we go further into this, that word overflow in the Greek is the word paraseo, which means to superabound, to have more than enough. And again, increase, abundance. So the believer needs to have increase, because God is always dealing with increase. He's the God of more than enough. He's the God of more than enough. And so we need to understand that as we deal with the God of more than enough, what is he going to do? He's going to overflow in our life. He's going to overflow in our life. Overflow is coming your way. Overflow is coming your way. And so I want you to now repent of any thoughts of deficiency, repent of any thoughts of lack, repent of any thoughts of need, and say, God, I want your overflow. I believe I received your overflow in my life right now. The God of more than enough is coming to visit your house. And so it says that word overflow means to superabound, to have more than enough. You are about to have more than enough. You're going to have enough to where you can share. Right now, you don't give, you don't sow into the lives of other people, because you're always thinking about, what if I don't have enough? But God says you can go and give, because now you have more than enough. The God of overflow is visiting your house. He's right now blowing on your resources and multiplying what you have. He's multiplying your seed sown 100-fold. That's the word of God. Amen. Because God says in his word that he will multiply the seed sown. Amen. 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 And so it's not just about having hope, but it's about having an abundance of hope that overflows from us. All right. Overflows from us into the lives of other people, not only influencing our life, but it overflows from us into the lives of other people. So not only can we eat, but everybody around us that's connected to us can eat. And so again, and not only are we supposed to have hope, but everybody that we come in contact with, we should have such a contagious optimism about us that when we come into a situation, we cause people to have hope where there is no hope. Amen. And so when we think about this overflowing hope, again, it can spill out into the lives of those around us. And when we're filled with hope, we can share it and be a source of hope to other people as well. What do you think happened when the disciples went about and doing the works of Jesus? What do you think happened? The people that did not have hope, the people that were in darkness, all of a sudden saw the light, saw the sun shining on their life. They saw the clouds parting in their life, because God sent people who are bringing the hope and the glorious joy of Jesus Christ into their midst, which is how they were able to get healed. How were they able to get delivered? They were able to get set free from the bondages of sin and Satan. And so they had great testimonies as a result of what God had done through them. Again, these were ordinary men who encountered an extraordinary God and were able to do. And so what do you think about you in our day as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? You have encountered the extraordinary God, and he wants to do miracles through you, but you gotta believe to participate. You got to believe that you are good enough. You got to believe that you are worthy to participate in what he is doing. All right? All right? And so you got to participate in what he is doing. And so when we think about this, we need to think about that all believers are called to be people of hope, because our God is the God of hope. All right? Our God is the God of hope. And so here, we need to understand that this hope is not just for our benefit. Again, we need to get from, as believers, we need to get from the mindset of just thinking about ourselves and think about how we can be a blessing to other people. Because a lot of times people want to be blessed just so they can have bragging rights. But you should want to be blessed so that you can be a blessing. When Abraham was called out by God, God said, not only will you be blessed, but through you shall all nations of the earth bless themselves. All right? All nations of the earth bless themselves. And so when we think about this, hope should be contagious. Hope should be contagious. It should be infectious to where it can impact the lives, positively impact the lives of other people. And so in a world full of darkness and despair, we need to understand that we need to point others to the unchanging character of God, which is hope. Hope, all right? And so what do we need to understand about hope? One, we find our hope in God. We find our hope in God, all right? And that comes from Psalm 39, verse 7, which says, "Now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you." My hope is in you, all right? So the source of our hope is in God. His promises are a source of everlasting hope. So that's why our hope is in God. And so then we need to understand what scripture says according to Isaiah 40. Let's go to Hebrews 6:19 says this. "Now we have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. It cannot slip and it cannot break down under whoever steps out upon it. A hope that reaches farther and enters into the very certainty of the presence within the veil." Within the veil. All right. And so this, so we have a hope that makes us, that tells us and reveals to us our worth, our worthiness to enter into the very presence of God. So God is not trying to run away from you. God is not trying to run away from you. God is not trying to be absent from your life, but God wants to be very present in your life. And so you need to realize that the hope that we have in him can be an anchor that keeps us grounded, all right? Keeps us from floating away just because storms come, all right? Just because the winds blow, because we have Christ and we have the promises of God as an anchor for our soul, we won't float away. That means in spite of the opposition we're facing, we can still have hope, and that hope will be an anchor which keeps us steady. We can still have hope regardless of diagnoses and believe that God is still a healer. Okay, we can have hope in spite of danger and believe that God is a protector and God is a deliverer. We need to realize that this hope, that the promises of God will not float away, will not disintegrate just because of what you're going through and how you're feeling. But if you would believe the word of God, then the word of God would give you an infusion with fresh doses of hope every day. And that hope would serve as an anchor for your soul. Amen. And so we need to understand that these promises are a source of lasting hope. Why? Because the scripture tells us that all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. Because that's why God says he does not lie. He does not lie because all his promises are yes. So if he promised you, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is one of his promises to you, all right? That's what David found out about God, and it was a revelation that he realized in his life. And so now we can claim that promise that the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. Why? Because our God is a God of overflow. And that because we know our God is a God of overflow, we can have hope that God is going to come through for us. And he's not just going to come through in just a way that satisfies, but he's going to do more than enough. More than enough. Okay? Our God is a God of more than enough. And so then we need to understand that our hope is not in earthly things that will fade away. And so for that, we have Isaiah 40, verses 6 to 8, which says, a voice says, cry, prophesy. All right, this is Amplified. A voice says, cry, prophesy. And I said, what shall I cry? The voice answered, proclaim. All flesh is as frail as grass, and all that makes it attractive, its kindness, its goodwill, its mercy from God, its glory and comeliness, however good, is transitory, like the flower of the field. All right. Scripture says what? What does the next verse say? That next verse says what? It says that the grass withers, the flowers fade when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely all people are like grass. Then it says the grass withers, the flowers fade. But what does it say? The word of our God will stand forever. All right. The word of our God will stand forever. All right. And so we need to understand that sometimes you need to, when you're going through something, all right, that's why you need to prophesy. You need to prophesy into your own life. Take a word from those 66 books, and you need to prophesy into your life. Prophesy life into your own life. Prophesy peace in the midst of the storm. Prophesy provision where you see lack right now. Prophesy opportunity when you see a brick wall trying to be an obstacle to your furtherance and your success. Prophesy. Why? Because the word of the Lord will stand forever. All right? The word of the Lord will stand forever. And then we need to understand. Let's look at 1 Peter 1, verse 3. It says, what? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And so because Jesus is alive, okay, because Jesus is alive, he went into the grave, but the scripture tells us that on the third day he got up. And so because he is alive, we can have hope, all right? And so our hope is in the living and resurrected Jesus Christ, all right? And so that's another reason why we can have hope in his life, is because Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. How do I know? He's still working in the lives of people around me. He's working in my life. He's working in, I'm hearing a testimony. Oh man, we're hearing so many testimonies come through the ministry of how Jesus is alive, and he's revealing himself through healing. He's revealing himself through peace. He's revealing himself through salvation. He's revealing himself through deliverances. He's revealing himself in so many ways that you cannot deny that Jesus is alive and that the word of God is true. Why? Because according to Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, the word of our God will stand forever. All right, the word of God will stand forever. And so then let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19 to 22 says what? It says, if we have put our hope in Christ for this life only. So if it's only for the here and now, we should be pitied more than anyone. But as it is, Christ has been raised. There we go again with the resurrection. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Then what does it say? For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. And then what does it say? For just as Adam and Adam all die, so also in Christ, all will be made alive. So again, we don't have hope just for this life, but we have hope for eternity. This is hope for eternity. So it's not like a coupon that has an expiration date. Jesus didn't just save us temporarily, but he saved us once and for all. He saved you once and for all. And so you don't have to worry about your salvation wearing off. You don't have to worry about the blessing of the Lord upon you wearing off. You don't have to worry about his grace wearing off, because he has promised us hope, not only now, but hope throughout all eternity. And so we can have eternal hope in him. And so it gives us strength. And so this hope gives us strength. Let's look at Romans 5, verse 3 to 5 says what? There's more to come. There is more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience within us. All right. And what else does the scripture say? And how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue or spiritual maturity, all right, in character, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. Ha ha, stay tuned for coming attractions. And an alert, all right, says what? An alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. We're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. That's because our God is a God of more than enough. He is a God of more than enough, all right? And so it gives us the strength to endure trials. And so let's look at our next scripture, which is Hebrews 6:19. Says what? Now we have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. Again, that's why we can be hopeful, because the hope is a sure anchor for our soul. So stay tuned. I ain't going nowhere. That's why I can stay tuned. I ain't going to float away. That's why I can stay tuned. Because even when I'm hemmed up, he's got more in store. He's got more in store for you. He's got more in store for you. So God is coming through for you. So be hopeful. Be filled with hope. Because the scripture told us what? We ain't got enough containers. We ain't got enough containers to hold everything he's about to unleash. He's about to pour into our lives through the Holy Spirit. God has increase on his mind. And so we need to get in line and have increase on our mind too, and be hopeful that God is going to come through for us regardless of the circumstances that we may be facing. It may be too hard for us, but it's not too hard for God. That's why we can be hopeful about what he's doing in our life. We can be hopeful for what he's doing in our life. We can be hopeful, and we can go through knowing that when we go through, he won't leave us shortchanged. He won't leave us shortchanged. That's why we can be hopeful in this life. And so what does this mean? This means that we have access. As believers, we have access to the power of hope through the Holy Spirit. You saw that last scripture, which talked about how the Holy Spirit, he's pouring hope into us. He's pouring an abundance of hope into your life through the Holy Spirit. He's pouring abundance of hope into your life through the Holy Spirit. All right. And so we can cling to the promises of God and trust in his faithfulness in times of trouble. And we can be filled with joy and peace as we confidently put our hope in him. And let us not, we shouldn't lose heart, but continue to hope in the Lord, for he is our strength and our shield. That's Psalm 27, verse 14. He is our help and our shield, our strength and our shield. All right. And so we need to be rooted. We need to be rooted in the promises of God, because he never changes. He never changes. Sunday, what did we look at? The scripture says what? Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And forever. And so we need to repent of our lack of belief in our God. Because he never changed. We may have changed, but he never changes. And what do I mean by repent? I mean, we need to have a change of heart and mind. It's not just saying I'm sorry, but it's walking a different way in life. All right? And so we need to walk a different way now that we know what the Word of God says about the God of hope. We need to resist that temptation to doubt. We need to resist the temptation to be anxious. We need to resist the temptation to be fearful. We need to resist the temptation to quit on God, because he has not quit on you. And so that's why we can have hope, because he's going to keep his promises and he's going to come through for you. Yeah. I know a person may have made you a promise and they didn't fulfill your promise, but God is not like man. He's not like man. He is so much better. Relationship with God is so much better. And so we can't allow our disappointments from people to set a standard for God, because God is not on that same level. He's so much better. His ways are so much higher. His thoughts are so much deeper. He's got so many good intentions in store for his people. But he needs you to believe. And so as you believe, you will experience the power of hope. And so let's pray. God, we thank you for just reminding us in this midweek Bible encounter that you are the God of hope. And so, Lord, even though at times we struggle to hold on to hope, we thank you that your Holy Spirit right now is filling us with more hope. And he's reminding us of your promises. Yeah. We thank you, God, that we will be filled with joy and peace and overflowing hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask that you would help us to be a source of hope for other people. Help us to be light in the midst of darkness. And help us to help people reframe their expectations, because our expectation is in you, God. And so we thank you for being the source of hope for us and for fulfilling your promises. And Lord, we're reminded that we need to stay tuned, because you have more in store for your people. We bless you and we glorify you right now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to encourage you definitely to continue to read the scriptures that I went over today. Rewatch this, share it with someone that may be going through something real tough right now, but they may need some encouragement. Share, like, share, subscribe, share this with them so that they can be infused with hope. Why? Because we've understood tonight that we're filled with hope and overflowing, so that we can be a source of hope to other people and introduce them to the God of hope. And so definitely want you to rewatch this, listen to it again, go over these scriptures again, and ask God, just continue to show yourself to me. Let me experience the power of hope today. Let me experience every day you wake up. God, let me experience the power of hope today. Let your expectations be raised. Raised to heaven's level. Why? Because God will not disappoint. He will not disappoint. Even in the darkest times, God will come through. I'm a witness that he'll come. Even when you think an impossibility, he says, impossibilities are just opportunities. Just opportunities for God, the God of hope, to show us the power of hope when we believe. And so definitely want you to continue to be encouraged. And then I want you to join us on this weekend, because we are going to be celebrating 30 years as a church, and our founders, Apostle Willie Talbert and Apostle Mamie Talbert, we're going to be honoring them exclusively during this time. We do have a guest ministry, Apostle Ruth Peterson, who's going to be our guest this Sunday at 11:30 a.m. And so we want you to come and be encouraged. And then help us celebrate our overseers. Help us celebrate them, because they've been so faithful to God for 30 years in this part of God's vineyard. They've been faithful to God for more than 30 years, but as the founders of Yes Lord Ministries, we want to honor them and we want to bless them with gifts. We don't just want to give them kind words, but we want to bless them and show them how much of an impact they have had in our lives. And so I encourage you to make your way to 225 North 8th Street in Kenilworth, New Jersey at 11:30 this Sunday morning, because God has something in store for you. And I believe that through the woman of God that will be ministering, that God will infuse you with fresh hope for your future. And so I want to encourage you to be blessed and refreshed in the Lord, and I will see you this weekend. God bless you.
Welcome to Yes Lord Ministries, a non-denominational, full gospel, Bible-believing church where the Word of God comes alive in your life.
I want to encourage you to plan your visit to Yes Lord Ministries, 225 North 8th Street in Kenilworth, New Jersey. Join us here every Sunday at 11:30 a.m. I really want to meet you. I want to shake hands with you and let us know how we've been a blessing to you. Also, let our hosts know how we can pray for you, because we want to touch and agree and see God move in your life. And so, once again, on behalf of myself, Pastor Steve Talbert, Apostle Willie Talbert, Apostle Mamie Talbert, and the entire Yes Lord Ministry Church family, thank you for joining us and see you next week. Bye-bye.
Stay connected and grow in your faith with our mobile app. It's available in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store today. Join us for weekly services at 11:30 each Sunday morning. Our location is 225 North 8th Street in Kenilworth, New Jersey. Every Wednesday morning from 5:30 a.m. to 5:45 a.m., join us for corporate prayer. Our call-in number is 716-427-1000. 1096 and the access code is 172268 pound sign. Every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. join us for Spread the Bread Bible Study as we dive into the Word of God. Join us on September 15th at 11:30 a.m. as we celebrate a special milestone. Our church family has been growing and serving together for 30 years. This is a time to reflect on our journey and the many blessings we have received. We invite everyone in our community to come and share in this joyful occasion. During the service, we will honor our founders, Dr. Willie Tolbert and Dr. Mamie Tolbert. They have dedicated their lives to building this church and helping others. Their hard work and love for the community are what made our church family strong. We are excited to celebrate their legacy with all of you. We are also pleased to announce that Apostle Ruth Peterson from the Anointed Ones Church of Deliverance International will be our guest speaker. She brings wisdom and inspiration that will encourage us all. So mark your calendars for this special day. We look forward to seeing you there as we celebrate our past and look forward to a bright future together. Partner with YLM financially using the following methods. The YLM mobile app. Text GIVE to 1-844-948-3895. Cash App $YesLordM. On Givelify, search for Yes Lord Ministries in Kenilworth, New Jersey. Our website. Visit www.ylmconnect.org and click Donate. Mail checks and money orders to Yes Lord Ministries, Post Office Box 425, Union, New Jersey 07083. On behalf of our senior pastor Steve Tolbert, our senior leaders Apostle Willie Tolbert, Apostle Mamie S. Tolbert, and the entire Yes Lord Ministries church family, thank you for joining us and see you at our next service.